Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Church this Lord's Day. Good to see you all. So far it's very nice. I think it's supposed to rain, but maybe it's going to hold off or pass us by. It would be nice. I want to say happy birthday to Tommy. Tommy Houston, birthday. Happy birthday, Tommy. Next Sunday, please remember, we have communion, Lord's Supper, so please come prepared to partake in worthy fashion next Sunday during the morning service. We have some more people that have left us, you know, just to go away for vacation, John and Amy there in Florida. They'll be coming back sometime, I think, this week. Irene, she'll be coming back soon, and Connie, Rex as well. They're gone, coming back, though, very soon. So all the others as well, please remember, that are away for a longer period of time, Lord willing, they will return. So these are some of the announcements I have. Yes, Tammy. Oh, yes. Oh, it's one of the most difficult things to get over, that anyone. I know that from my own experience. So it's, you need to pray for her. But thank you. Tell her we love her. We really do. Kind of grew up in my house a little bit anyway with my daughter, Sarah. I think, I see Tyler. Good to see you. Can you see me? How many fingers am I? Tyler had some surgery, important eye surgery done that saved his eyesight. I think it was close to it. I was talking to you, Justin last night, and so we're thankful. Praise the Lord for that, and doing better. We're going to pray for your complete healing. Good to see you. So these are some of the announcements and prayer concerns that we have, and let's now take one more moment to prepare for corporate worship. Let's all rise. Psalmist declares in Psalm 139, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake,
I am still with thee. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Indeed, the psalmist declaring that God knew him before he was even formed in the womb of his mother, that God had already planned his existence and, of course, his salvation before he was born. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And each one of us here should marvel as well that God has chosen you to be part of his kingdom. On earth first, and then in the heavens later. Praise the Lord. Let's sing about this. Let's sing hymn together as best we can. Let's try to do the best we can. Hymn number 37, All That I Am I Owe to Thee. We know this hymn somewhat. We've sung it before. So let's do the best we are able so to do. Hymn 37. To you who belong to heaven by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to you, dearly beloved sons and daughters of the living God, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, thou hast enriched our lives stupendously. Thou hast granted us a wonderful honor and privilege, not only to be called the children of God, the sons of God, that were not enough, but to come and gather in thy presence to worship, to be found a worshiping people in spirit and in truth, a delightful people. Delightful to their God and Maker. We are such a people and we are amazed.
Join us, O Lord. Be with us. Be close to us. Draw nigh to us as we draw nigh to Thee in this worship service. Grant us Thy rich, prosperous blessings in Christ Jesus. For it's in His name we pray, who taught His disciples to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. Let's turn in our hymnals to the back page area there, to first to page 836. 836, and there find Psalm 139 for the responsive reading this morning. Psalm 139 on page 836 in the hymnal. Beginning now, O Lord, You have searched me, You know me. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. You hem me in, behind, and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Where can I go from Your Spirit? If I go to heavens, You're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, You created my inner being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. As woven together in the depths of the earth, Your eyes saw my unformed body. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. If only You would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, You bloodthirsty men. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against You? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And indeed, the Lord will answer that prayer of the psalmist, even for us, in Jesus Christ, His Son. Amen. Let's turn further now to page 869 in the hymnal, 869, and we'll ask and answer questions 4, 5, and 6 on this page, 869. Question 4 asks, what is God? Are there more gods than one? And question 6 asks, how many persons are there in the Godhead? Excellent, excellent answer. A mystery indeed, the Trinity. And we are unique
people who believe in that and know these persons intimately through faith in Christ, of course. So let's now take time to be holy through our prayer, and I will lead us first by beginning with the words of the psalmist, Psalm 42, portion of that psalm. I'll read first. As it is a prayer, we'll begin with this prayer. Like as the hart desires the water brooks, so longs my soul after thee, O God. My soul is athirst for God, yea, even for the living God. When shall I come to appear before the presence of God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they daily say to me, where is now thy God? Now when I think thereupon, I pour out my heart by myself. For I went with the multitude and brought them forth into the house of God in the voice of praise and thanksgiving among such as keep holy day. Why art thou so full of heaviness, O my soul? And why art thou so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou so vexed, my soul, and why art thou so disquieted within me? O put thy trust in God, for I will yet thank him, which is the help of my countenance and my God. And so it does appear, Lord, from these words, that when we are vexed and anxious and troubled and even terrified by what's going on, when we're all up in arms about things, upset about the day's activities, about what's happening in our culture, in our society, and more personally and in our own lives, we hear from the prayer of the psalmist here that that we need to hope in the Lord, that we need to trust in our God, that perhaps our hope, which is a lively hope, a living hope, a resurrection hope, perhaps our trust is lacking. And if that's the case, and it is the case, Lord, with all of us, we are sorry. We repent. Confess this our fault, of course, and we repent. We would repent of these weaknesses, these lapses in our great, wonderful, saving God and his word and all the power of his might that works in us to will and do his good pleasure. Our hope might ebb, our trust might diminish because of our weaknesses and our sins. So yes, we're sorry, we confess that, but we also pray for more grace, Lord, so that we can turn from such things more and more, so that it is possible, we need to certainly believe thy word, it is possible for us to grow, have these sins diminish in us because of thy presence in our lives, so we can become more hopeful, we can become more trusting, we can become more faithful, we can become more tried and true if we pray. If we ask our God, he does not deny us. He hears all our prayers, and he gives liberally to all who ask. But we do need to ask this, especially now that we know it. There are some things we don't know. There are some sins that we don't even realize. We cannot even confess because we're not aware of them. As Calvin said, we do not understand the 100th part of the sin that clings to our soul. We don't know it. But this we know. We are not to be anxious and troubled and vexed and horrified by the goings-on around us. By the troubles that we see and hear. Oh yes, if someone is chasing us down the street with a weapon, wants to hurt us, break into our home and want to molest, that's certainly a fearful, anxious moment for sure. But barring such things, Lord, we are going to be very careful to depend upon thy word. Remember that which we have heard and learned. And so we're asking that thou would bring this help and healing into our lives, that we might indeed do better, that we might look better. Not physically, but that we might make a better presentation to the world, to our friends, to our family and friends and our neighbors, that they might see thy good work, that they might glorify God with us on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day. It would lift us up, of course, Lord, and there's nothing wrong with that, to see a family member who has departed, wayward, to see a friend, a good friend, or a neighbor in church with us, rejoicing in the Lord, glorifying God, saying, "My, that's a wonderful thing to do. This worship that you go to is wonderful. It's different. It's odd to me. I'm not used to it, but it's marvelous. I think I'm coming again." That would encourage every one of us, Lord, and we're praying for that encouragement. According to your will, of course, according to your will, thy will be done in Christ Jesus. We're praying that we become better and better witnesses for Jesus. We're also praying we're thankful for our family here present, of course, and those away from us that are going to be returning, some in this week, some following weeks, some next month. We miss them, but we certainly want them to have a wonderful time, physically, yes, and spiritually as well. Return them to us safely, O Lord. We are praying for that, hoping for that. We are praying for those who are in trouble. We think of Audrey, who has much trouble in her life. She's had it, and she still has it. And the saying is, those of us who have had this kind of trouble, that there is a monkey on my back, and it's there, and it will not let go. We're praying that it will let go of her for good. We're asking that thou would have mercy upon her body and soul, in Jesus' sake. We're thankful that Tyler is doing better, that the surgery was a success, and that he is healing now from it. And we're asking that that would continue, that he have full recovery of his eyesight, and that he would be praising thee and thanking thee, along with his wife and the rest of the family. That is thankful, truly thankful for the wonderful mercies thou dost show us day by day, and especially in special cases like this, when something is very, very wrong and we need help, and we get it. Again, Lord, we are thankful to be here. We're thankful to be in church. We want to see your churches filled with saved souls. We'd love to see new souls, new Christians. I mean, people that have just been saved. What an exciting thing that is. We know that's happening. We pray for our church. We pray for the faithful churches around here, throughout the United States, in our denomination, and other denominations and churches as well. And especially we think of our missionaries, Lord, who are seeking to build the Church of Jesus Christ in far-off places. All these things we pray, these things that are spoken, and these things yet remaining in our minds, on our hearts, all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Let's continue our worship through our offering with the deacons. Come forward now. Heavenly Father, thou hast blessed us with so very much. Thou hast made us rich, rich indeed. Perhaps not by the world standards we can call ourselves rich, but certainly by the standards of contentment and gratitude and thanksgiving to the great God and Father of us all, who provides all things in this world needful for our existence. And for the next world, and even in this world beginning, small beginning of the new obedience in Christ Jesus, we are extremely grateful for that. Words cannot express our thankfulness, although we gather for worship at this time to express ourselves as best as we are able to do through prayer and praise with thanksgiving in our hearts and attentiveness to thy word. We ask, O Lord, that thou would accept our offering that we have been given by thee, of course. We don't give thee anything that thou hast not already given to us. But we have worked for this. We have desired that with you, what you give us, we want to do good. And we know that it is good for us to support the cause of Christ in and among us in the church here, but also throughout the United States and through our denominational efforts towards home missions and in-home missions and foreign missions. So we are asking that thou would bless this gift, the giver and the gift, for the sake and cause of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's sing another hymn. Hymn number 680. 680. Let's rise up. Be seated. That was an upbeat song. A little hard to sing, right? Get going there, but it's a good one to practice. Let's now turn to our attention to the Word of God, to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read just five verses from Colossians 2. Verses 1 through 5. This being the word of God, let us hear it, and hear it well. Dear people of the Lord, hear the word of your God. From Colossians chapter 2, beginning verse 1. For I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. May God bless this portion of his word to us. Again, we pray, Lord, open our hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Teach us, Lord, teach us, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, we have a wonderful, wonderful truth here. I hope and pray I'm able to express it as important as it is. Main verse is verse 3, but I'll be drawing from verses 1 through 4, and as we head along here. I want to say that the first thing you notice in this epistle
to the Colossians is that Paul loves these people and also the Laodiceans, even though he never met them face to face. They never met him, he never met them, but they were the fruits of his missionary labors. And so he's writing to these churches in Asia Minor and telling them in this this epistle how much he cares for them. So much that he's troubled. He's in conflict over something that is happening, which I'll explain in just a moment. But the thing I want to initiate in your understanding, in your mind, is this this idea of verse 3, that's in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. The hiding here that to which Paul refers is not as if you can't find it. That's not it. But the emphasis is on the previous verse where the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ in whom are hid. So the hiding is in Christ. That's where these things that Paul is speaking of are hid. In no one or nowhere else, they're all hid in Jesus Christ. And so the reason why Paul is saying this is because there was an era of the day called by scholars the Colossian era. And what that era was, which was given by the Gnostics, called Gnostics, some call them Gnostic Christians, but the error that they taught was that Christ is not enough, that there's some more knowledge, that there's something else, some other revelation, some other experience beyond what you know about Christ and the cross of Christ and the resurrection. There's something else that is secret, that is hidden, that is beyond reach, sort of beyond Christ, that you need to know. And so Paul is very upset because he does not want to have these young Christians led astray. He cares about them deeply, about their faith, about their hope, about their love for Jesus Christ. And so he is, in verse 29 of the previous chapter, striving for them. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he's in conflict. Same root word, striving, conflict, same root word in the Greek. He's very much troubled. And so I want to talk now about three things. I want to say from our text here, from these verses, that all the treasures, not just some, not just most, but all the treasures are in Christ Jesus. I also want to say that all the comfort, in the second part of my message, all the comfort, all of it, is also in Christ Jesus. And the third thing I want to say is that all the truth is in Christ Jesus. So we have all the treasures, all the comfort, and all the truth in Christ Jesus. And how well we speak of Him. If you just hear that, and I'm not suggesting you turn off your listening ears now, but if you just hear that, you are well on your way to a glorious life in this world and, of course, in the world to come. Everything. It's all about Christ. And that's what we need to hone in on, to focus in on. That there is nothing else that we need. All we need is Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, of course,
But even in the physical realm, we need Christ. And we need to have our attention honed in and focused on Him. That's what life is all about for us now that we're saved, now that we're Christian. That's not the way we act. That's not the way Christians act oftentimes. That's not the way Christians speak oftentimes. And we're all guilty. Some more, some less, but we're all guilty of forgetting the most important thing we can barely even imagine. That Jesus Christ has come to earth to live, to die, to rise again and ascend for me. That is, talk about awesome. That is marvelous. And we need to focus in on that every single day of our lives and not forget it. And we have a tendency to forget it, right? Because we get so busy, because there are other things that are important, and they are. But not nearly as important as this. The apostle says, in verse 2, he's praying for them, he's desiring that their hearts, the hearts of the Colossians, the hearts of the Laodiceans, the hearts of all Christians really, might be comforted, being knit together in love unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures. And he means what he says. He doesn't mean the most important things. He means all the treasures are hid in Jesus Christ. Not hid so that you can't find them, but hid only in Christ. So that's where you have to go to find them. And they're all the treasures. You see, it's not just one thing, as many Christians seem to think or seem to behave. They have one, two, three, four, five things that they got. You know, they're saved. They understand what faith is and trust is somewhat. They understand what repentance is and confession and repentance and pardon and all that. Yeah. They understand what church is, and if I have time and it's not too much trouble, I'll come. They understand a few things about, but those are treasures. Those are riches, to be sure. But that is not the end of it, right? By any means. This is an ongoing thing. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge of God. All the wisdom and knowledge of God are in Christ. That's deep. And you don't know, and I don't know, the half of it, the tenth of it, the millionth of it. You and I have a long way to go to appreciate what Paul is saying here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You think you're okay. You think your family members are, you know, are safe. And if they know Christ and learn Christ, they are. But if they're not growing, they are, well, they should be ashamed of themselves. Right? We should be ashamed of ourselves if we're not growing. If I've reached an age now where, you know, I've done Sunday school, I've come to church, I've listened to many sermons. In my case, I've preached a number of them. I have read some books, do my devotions. I'm okay. I can rest now. I can sit back. Wow, you are selling yourself short. Are you not? All the treasures. I can't emphasize it more than I am. All of them
are hid. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. The wisdom and the knowledge of God. That is immense. Now, the thing that Paul wants the Colossians, the Laodiceans, and of course the Spirit wants us to understand is that there is no special someone. There's no. This is not just for the super saint to get at, which was what the Gnostic heresy was all about. They were saying that there's some special people, some special believers that have delved into things and have this secretive knowledge that they can impart to a few, not too many, but a few people. They have this special understanding that is beyond what the average Christian can get at. That is not what Paul is saying. In fact, Paul is very much in conflict and concern and strife that people think this way. That a Christian can be enticed to believe that someone has to be super intelligent or super spiritual or special in some way or have some kind of talent in order to delve into those things that are hidden. Cannot be found without some special help. Paul wants everyone to know that is not true. That this knowledge, this wisdom of God, this depth of understanding, this assurance of understanding, this acknowledgement, this full knowledge of the truth is available to each and every Christian. Everyone. All the riches are included in the mystery of God, and they are found in Jesus Christ. And that is an incredible thing. Now, what are some of these riches? Well, first of all, and there are many, but I'm just going to name three of them right now. The first thing is the reconciliation that has happened between God and us through Jesus Christ. That we have been brought into an intimate communion with the Creator through Jesus Christ. That's it, right? No one else, nothing else. That I have this special relationship, this privilege, this high calling in Jesus Christ. That's available to everyone. Now that can grow and that can become more intimate and all that, and it should. But that reconciliation to God is now possible, made possible only through Jesus Christ. So that's one of the great riches that God has bestowed upon us. A second one is that now we have reconciliation with each other. Many of us have been brought up, raised differently, have different talents, different gifts, different interests, different this, different that. And we're really, you know, we can be jealous and we can be petty and we could be this or that. But now we have been reconciled and we're brothers and sisters and we love each other. We should. I know we don't. But you see, in Christ that has happened. And only in Christ we've become a family. All of us. No one else can do that. Nothing else. It's nowhere else. We are the family of God in and through Jesus Christ. That's a rich, a treasure that we have been given. I know we don't appreciate it as much as we ought to because there are people coming and going in the churches. They bounce around from this place to that place. They have, they don't develop the deep-seated relationship and love that they ought to.
because they are flighty and because they don't appreciate the treasure that they have been given in Jesus Christ, the reconciliation, brother with brother and sister with sister, that is available in Jesus Christ and manifests itself in the local congregation. And the third treasure that we have been given, that we make note of, is that God has reconciled all things to himself. Notice about reconciliation here, that God has reconciled all things to himself through Jesus Christ. Yes, all things were marked for and cursed by God because of Adam. But now someone greater than Adam, the final Adam, the second Adam, if you will, has come along. And he has reconciled all things to himself. So he not only has brought in a people and a church people, but he has brought in the entire creation. And he's going to make that known. Now, in principle, it already is. The curse is gone. Against the people, against the creation. But in time, it still has to work itself out. It still has to be revealed. The creation groans in eager expectation for all the sons and all the children of God to be revealed. But when that happens, it's going to blossom. And it's preparing now to blossom into the new heavens and new earth, right? So God has reconciled the entire place here. But it's only in Christ. It's not through the government. It's not through education. It's not through this wonderful job or system or whatever it is that people are depending on. It's not through some utopian dream or scheme that is dreamt up by man. It's only in Christ that this reconciliation between man and God, between man and man, between man and creation itself is realized. Do you see how deep this is? And it goes much deeper than I have time to say. But because we have all of this and much more, all the riches of wisdom and knowledge of God, the mystery of God, it's all hid in Christ. It's all there in Christ. And that's why we need to know Christ. Why would you go somewhere else? Why would you think that something else is as important or more important? You see, that's what the Gnostics thought. And that's what people today think, that there's something besides Christ that I need for my happiness, for my glory, for my splendor. There's something else. What is it? Which is it? Tell us so that we can be in on it, but prove what you say from the scriptures. There is nothing, right? You can't come up with anything. Again, I know you know this, brothers and sisters. You don't always do it. You don't always show it. You pay far too much attention, as I do, to this world and the things in this world and to other stuff. When all the mystery of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the wisdom and knowledge, all the treasure that you'll ever need is in Christ. And it's only just begun for each and every one of us, no matter how long we've been involved in this. I don't care how old you are. You have not yet arrived in heaven. You still need to realize and pay attention. To things like this. It's so vitally important. But we don't need to go anywhere else. I know you think that. I know you feel that sometimes. But where? Where are you going to go?
What's going to enrich your life? Where's that treasure chest that you want to dig in and bring up, bring out some wonderful? What is that? What is it? Which is it? And young people especially, do not be fooled. There isn't anything better. I mean, do you realize how bad people are? They give up something as wonderful as this for what? Their coffee and donut or whatever they have on Sunday? Some job, some time and a half? How cheap is that? Sells his soul for $100 more a week. Who would sell his soul for $100 more a week? Would you? I don't get it. I never have. As soon as I became a Christian anyway, I mean, I didn't care before, but when I became a Christian and I heard it, I didn't hear it at first, but then when I did hear it and I read about it, wow, that makes perfect sense. In Christ. Everything is the treasures of God are in Christ only. I got to know more about Christ. I got to have more Christ. I can't be giving myself hook, line, and sinker to this crazy world. I mean, I give them enough time, don't I? Now you more, because I'm always in the Word every single day. I'm always praying about it. I'm always thinking about it. It's easier for me than it is for you. You're out in the workaday world or whatever you're doing. And that is just crazy activity when you compare it to all the treasures of God are in Jesus Christ. They're stored in Him and no one else and nowhere else. I don't care where you go or what you do. Now, when you realize this, so I don't need to go to Rome and try to find out their mysteries, the mystery of the Eucharist or the mystery of the Rosary. Nonsense. I don't need to go to the Arminians and find out their plans for saving the whole earth and all this world and all the programs that they might have and this program and that program and all these silly things. And then, you know, about the rapture. I don't need to go to them for some special. Now, I don't need to go to the Pentecostals and get some new revelation that their churches are full of and speaking in tongues and the new interpretation of that. I don't need to know all that stuff. I just need to know the treasures of Christ, that are in Christ, that are in His Word, you see, in this Bible, that are all about Him. That's what I need to know. And it's available to every Christian. I don't have to get a special second blessing or anything like that in order to get rich, spiritually rich. I just need to know Christ better. It's all about Him. And that, in turn, dear brothers and sisters, brings a great comfort. The second point is going to be the comfort, the great and wonderful comfort to the soul, to the spirit, to the person who is in Jesus Christ. Now, the word comfort that Paul uses here in Colossians is it literally means to come alongside of. You know, comfort, to come alongside of and to console and to encourage and to help along, to lift up, to strengthen. And that's the way it's being used here. It could be many different comforts, but the way it's used here in this epistle, in this chapter, it's used to strengthen, to fortify one's faith and hope and love. And so God comes alongside of us to comfort us when we turn to Him, when we turn to Christ. And when we want and seek out Christ more and more in His Word, through prayer, through worship, through study, through, you know, diligent effort, spiritual effort, we are amazed. And comfort, more and more comfort is brought into our life. The world begins to fade into the backdrop of our life. More. I mean, it never fades completely, as you know. We're sense-oriented creatures, and it just comes upon us, and then something happens to turn our world upside down. Imagine, I don't have enough money to pay the rent, or my job, I'm not getting the raise that I would like to get, or my boss said something to me that, you know, he looked at me cross-eyed and he doesn't like me anymore, or something like that. I mean, just things like that just turn us around. Insignificant things compared to all the wisdom and knowledge that is hid in God, in Jesus Christ. And the comfort that comes, Paul wants us to understand from this verse here, actually verse 2, their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. I want to talk about that in a moment. And unto all the riches of full assurance of understanding and to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. In other words, what Paul wants the Colossians to get, to the Laodiceans, what the Spirit wants us to get, is the fact that he wants us to ask a question of ourselves. Do you believe this? Do you believe that the riches of full assurance of understanding and acknowledgement of the mystery of God is hid in Jesus Christ? Do you really believe that? See, because if you do, then you're not going to go anywhere else. You're not going to go to anyone else. You're not going to seek out some special happening or experience or whatever it is to enrich your life. You can do it all. You can have it all. Full assurance and understanding and knowledge in Jesus Christ by looking at the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, by drawing closer to God, Jesus Christ. You have to have a firm conviction that the Bible is the Word of God and it tells you all the truth you'll ever need to know concerning spiritual things. And if you don't believe that, and many people do not, or they're shoddy in their belief, they're halfway in their belief, they're not enriched. They're not enlivened. They're not enthusiastic about coming to church, for example, or a Bible study or a prayer meeting or whatever it may be, talking about Christ with other people. It's not that exciting to them. Why isn't it that exciting? Because you do not have that conviction, that deep down conviction that everything I need is in Christ. And everything about Christ is in this Word. And so if you believe that, that's where you're going to go to seek Him. If you don't believe that, then you're going to try to seek Him somewhere else. Or you're not going to pay attention to your faith at all and seek the things of this world and be in trouble. The other thing, too, is that you need to understand here that we are comforted. And this is a comfort, right? It brings a comfort when we realize that everything is in this Word. Everything that we need to know about Christ, it's all here. And but also that we are comforted by being knit together in love. Yes, the love of God, the love of Christ, the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also the love of each other. That we're woven together, knit together, that we're tight. And that's going to bring us comfort too. I'm part of a family. People care. Like we had the prayer request before about somebody that's precious to us. We care. We want to see her healed. Being knit together in love. We're a Christian family, a Christian household. I know that there are some people that are very terrible towards the church, towards the people of God. They don't care so much. That's only going to hurt you spiritually. And finally, this brings up the last thing, that all the truth that we need to know is in Christ, which I've already intimated in more than one word, more than one way. But the thing that I want to bring out here that speaks about it in another words is that another way is that in verse 4 he says that I say lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Paul was concerned that there were people coming along with enticing words. You know what he means by enticing words? He means that there are people that are coming to the Colossians, that are coming to the Laodiceans, that are coming into the church, and they're going to entice you away from this idea that everything that you need is in Christ, that they're going to, or they're going to change the word around. They're going to use the word of God. They're going to use the catechisms of the church. They're going to use the confession of the church, but they're going to use them in twisted ways, in different ways, and they're going to entice you by smooth sounding argument, by nuance, by high sounding expressions and things like that. Enticing words means that they come along like lawyers with smooth talk, like politicians, and they entice you away from Christ. Or they entice you away from the truth that is embedded in the word that is in Jesus Christ. And they lure you away by using the word of God, by using the same words that we speak of, but differently. They define them differently, like what the Federal Vision is doing in the churches today and corrupting the doctrine of justification and the covenant of God. And they're much more eloquent than I am. And they could convince you, if you're not careful, to pay attention, careful attention to what Paul is speaking of here to the Colossians in his letter. Do not allow them. And the way you can do that is to love, of course, the truth that you have already heard, build upon that, and love each other. Paul loved the Colossians. Even though he didn't meet them face to face, he loved them. He cared about them. He was in conflict over them. He was in strife over them, as I am. I am striving in the pulpit often. And that's sometimes what you hear when I express myself and I get loud or it seems like I'm almost angry. I'm really striving. I want to get the message through to you. And sometimes I succeed and sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's my fault. Sometimes it's your fault. Sometimes it's both of us. Whatever. Sometimes it's other things that get in the way. You're not feeling well, or someone else is not feeling well, or whatever. And so I strive. I strive to convince you of this, to convey this, how important this is for all of us to get. To love God and Christ, the gospel, and to love one another. That's our greatest comfort. That is our greatest fulfillment. That's our wisdom. Jesus Christ. Him crucified. Risen. And coming again for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we do pray that you would help us to understand what Paul is saying here more, to treasure it, to treasure Christ in our heart, all the treasures of God, all the riches, all the wisdom and knowledge. The mystery of God is revealed, fully revealed in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And may we appreciate that, and may we not listen to another. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's in closing sing a final hymn, hymn 545, hymn 545.
Let's rise up.